Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's do this!
And now, Chuck and Winkler. Live from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studio.
Listen up, people!
On Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios. I'm Bart Winkler. That's Chuck Freeman. Couple more hours for us. The Bill Michaels Show 10 to 2, and then the Wendy's Big Show, which will be live at the Q Club of Wisconsin, and the Fan's going to be out there from about 2 o'clock till whenever this first round ends, and a little after that, Bill, Gary, Paul Emig, and crew on site, Q Club of Wisconsin tonight from 6 until about 11 o'clock. Mike Renner, Pro Football Focus, joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline as we continue to figure out not just what the Packers are up to, but how the rest of the draft, especially from picks 1 to 11, before the Packers do pick at 12 if they don't move, is going to shake out. Mike, thanks for a couple minutes. How you been?
Hey, Mike.
I've been great. Thanks for having me out, Bill.
All right, the way you guys got this mock draft, what are you guys thinking with the Packers pick here? The first one, the one at 12.
That one's a really hard one to peg down because I think a lot of things could happen in front of them. I think a lot of quarterbacks could be off the board, so realistically some talent could fall to them. I think they'd be where the talent's going to be is on the defensive side of the ball in terms of whether it's an interior rusher like Ed Oliver falling all the way to them, an edge rusher like Brian Burns, someone like that I feel like could be the pick, or if it's an offensive lineman, I think could be as well. Jonah Williams would make a ton of sense if he's still there on the board.
Would you see a scenario where they draft a tight end? I think that's the big question mark. We just talked to one of our Packer guys, says if they go offense there, it's going to be linemen. Doesn't see them drafting a tight end. Do you fall in that camp?
I think 12 is just far too high to be taking a tight end. The position just doesn't have a ton of value in a lot of offenses in the NFL. It's hard to project from college to the NFL. I just don't see the huge difference between a guy like it would be TJ Hockenson if they're taking a tight end there. I don't see a huge difference between him there and someone like maybe Jay Sternberger from Texas A&M, who you'd be getting in the third round. I just don't think it's that big of a positional difference. So if they are going somewhere, I would hope it's offensive line or defensive line, but I could see it. I mean, TJ Hockenson's getting a lot of hype now to go pretty high.
And I guess this is about Michael Cohen, who's our Green Bay insider. Is it because people look at Hockenson as being the next Gronk?
That's the thing. I think people fall in love with these tight ends because of a few highlight reel plays in college, and the fact that he's a complete tight end, can block as well, but calling him the next Gronk is a lot. That's a stretch for me. To me, he's more like a Tyler Eifert in terms of a good red zone threat, solid, contested catch guy, but I don't think he's anything special athletically. Didn't test so at the combine, and not necessarily your go-to guy that you can move around and do pretty much everything in your offense.
Mike Renner, Pro Football Focus, joining us here on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Packers were pretty active in free agency, especially trying to bolster some of the defensive positions. A couple of edge guys, a safety. How much do you think their involvement in free agency would impact what they do in this draft?
I think it has a big impact. I think it basically opened up the options for them in the first round. And with all these picks at the top of the draft, you don't have to go somewhere. You're not pigeonholed into drafting an edge rusher, say, if, you know, Bosa, Allen, Brian Burns, Montez Sweat all go off the board before you. Don't have to reach for a guy that you wouldn't have otherwise wanted to draft. So I think it was obviously a very different from what we've seen in the past from the Packers, and set them up very well for, you know, with how much draft capital they have here on the first day.
All right. I mean, this draft is going to be very interesting. You know, I mean, I think we all think Kyler Murray is going to go with number one. Anything that you could see, I mean, obviously a trade shakes up everything, but anything that you could see maybe out of the ordinary that could happen in the first round?
Well, yeah, I think what I touched on earlier, I think a lot of the quarterbacks will go. I think as much as it's been rumored as a down class, and I think it is a down class, I don't trust any guy really in this class after Kyler Murray. You still have a ton of quarterback needy teams. You still have teams in big need at the most valuable position in the game, and there's talent with this quarterbacks, with Drew Lock, with Daniel Jones, with Dwayne Haskins. They're just deeply flawed. There's some fatal flaws to all of them that I just don't want to trust and put my, you know, sort of pin in saying he's going to be my guy for the next 3 to 4 years, which is what teams are going to be doing when you're drafting them top 10. But I see a lot of teams, Broncos, Redskins, Giants, probably going that route.
What are the Cardinals up to? I mean, a lot of mocks are going to take Kyler Murray, and that seems to be the consensus there. They do have Josh Rosen. We know Kingsbury's infatuation with Murray. But I would think, wouldn't you have gotten more value from Rosen if you traded him? If you're going to take Murray, wouldn't you have gotten some more value earlier? Now you're going to be pressed, or maybe they want a competition. I don't know. How do you see that playing out with Arizona?
Yeah, that's a tough one. I think you still value your asset. You still put a good deal of work in with Rosen. There's no shame in saying we're going to have a competition with him and Kyler Murray come camp, and then best guy wins. You know, the more chances you can take at quarterback to get your guy, the better. You just need to have one who's good. So giving up on him and just cutting bait, if it's not worth, you know, getting your value back for him, I wouldn't just go, you know, flip him for a late second round pick just because you have Kyler Murray. Now you can have both on your roster. So I think from that perspective, the Cardinals should wait if they're not getting their value back. And we've seen it. I mean, if Teddy Bridgewater shares an ACL or whatever, something like that, again, you can get some quarterback needy team who gets desperate right around season, and maybe the trade value all of a sudden goes up.
Quinnen Williams is, I think he's another interesting out of Alabama, the defensive end. He's really high up in the draft. He's been moving around a little bit. Where do you see him, and what kind of impact player do you think he's going to be?
I think he's about as safe a thing as there is in the NFL draft mm-hmm. this year. I get that he's only played one season, and that's always a little weary, but he's played one season in the SEC along the line of scrimmage where you get a ton of reps that you get to see, and he was as dominant a player as we've ever seen, highest grade we've ever given to a defensive tackle in our 5 years of grading college football. So there's a lot to like about him, freakishly athletic as well. I think he is a pretty much lock to go top five at this point. I would imagine if he's sitting there on the board after, I think Murray Bosa is pretty much locked in at 1-2. I'd be hard-pressed to see the Jets pass on him with just how much, just how safe a thing he is at this point.
Talking with Mike Renner, Pro Football Focus. With the Packers, they've got this draft now to complement free agency. They've got a new coach. They've got Aaron Rodgers. Assuming that Rodgers plays the full year, what do you think is like the floor for them and then the ceiling? So what's the worst that they could be this year, and then what's maybe their best case scenario?
Best case scenario, I think the team has all the talent to get back to the levels we've seen from them in recent years in terms of, you know, double-digit wins. I think it could be a 12-13 win team if things go right. It's obviously a tough division out in NFC North, a lot of competition there, but I think they clearly have, on both sides of the ball, just very few holes now in a very up-and-coming secondary that you had another piece. You had a safety to that mix, another one in the draft here. You could have the making of something special on that back end. So from a passing game and stopping the pass perspective, they're as good as anyone in the NFC North right now, I would imagine. So I'd put them there. That's probably their ceiling floor. I just think with Aaron Rodgers, if you get him rejuvenated, you know, just cure some of those issues we've seen in recent years with the throwaways, holding on to the ball, if that new offense can get a little more out of him, I think your floor is something around 8-8. I just don't see this being a bad football team like the ones we've seen in recent years.
Mike, appreciate it. Good stuff over at Pro Football Focus, and we'll be in touch.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks so much for having me, fellas.
Thank you.
Mike Renner joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019. Look no further and call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank providing simply local common sense lending to your community since 1935. We'll get more draft preview. Ross Tucker will join us, one of our radio.com sports insiders, around 9:30. Want to remind you guys that Harry's has a great offer for new subscribers. I became a new subscriber about a year and a half ago. Thankfully, I did. You spend about 3,000 hours of your life shaving. Chuck.
What happened there?
Your mic fell
off. Oh, your mic fell off. Okay. Just hold it up with your hand.
I will.
That's happened before.
I'm commenting on it because you looked at me like I killed someone.
Well, yeah. That was between you and I.
I know.
I was just ready to play on. I wasn't going to say anything.
No, but it really like shook me.
Okay.
To my core. You know what else shakes me to my core, Freems? Bad razors.
Bad razors, bad drafts.
Bad drafts.
Yeah.
Bad razors. So go with razors that are a better option, Harry's Razors. Harry's was founded by two regular guys that were just like us, tired of paying for overpriced gimmicks. You know those commercials. Hey, try this razor. It's got a vibrating head. What does that mean? Hey, look at this handle. It looks like a spaceship. Cool. Does it help me shave better? No. Those were some of the tactics that the leading brands have used to overcharge us for years. So the guys that founded Harry's knew there had to be a better way. They wanted to keep prices low. They wanted a simple, clean design with quality, durable blades at a fair price. And that's what they've come up with. They've got 100% quality guarantee. So when you get these sent to your house, if you don't like it, you send it back. No harm, no foul. But to get this to your house, it's not really going to cost you that much either. New customers get $5 off a trial set from Harry's with the code BART at harrys.com. That means you can get a razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping when you use code BART at harrys.com. Go to harrys.com, use the code BART today, join the millions and millions of guys who have tried Harry's. Use the code BART at checkout to claim your offer. Again, send it right to your house in no time. You can subscribe and get it regularly if you want, but just to try it, all it's going to cost you is $3. We spend so much time shaving. Why waste it with a bad razor? Get on board with the 10 million guys and join Harry's.com.
Two outs, two on. Cubs trail by three.
Pius drives one in the air to left field. It's back toward the wall. It's got a chance. Gone. Javier Baez, a three-run homer. Suddenly the ball game is tied at three.
All right, your question might be, why? That's Cubs Radio Network. Javi Baez, sixth inning. Big moonshot out to left. Later that inning, Jason Hayward with the home run. Cubs beat the Dodgers last night 7-6. They are ahead of the Brewers in the standings, which all the teams in the NL Central are outside of the Reds. Brewers losing last afternoon, yesterday afternoon, and they have now lost 7 of their last 8. So I was on Twitter last night a little before I went to bed. A little early bedtime for Uncle Barty last night.
Yeah, well, I mean,
a little worn down.
I think one of those a week is at least is good.
Yeah.
You know what's funny? I was listening to some podcasts of guys who would do the early morning shows like us around the country and talk about how they try to get a nap here and there, but Saturdays and Sundays are their days to catch up. But I feel like one good day during the week where, you know, if you go to bed at 8:30, that's good for you.
I laid down, it was about 9:15. I looked at the clock and I thought, man, tomorrow at this time, the Packers are still going to be like an hour and a half away from pick number 30.
I know.
I'm going to be up all night.
Same with me. I was watching the 9 o'clock news last night, and I fell asleep sitting up on the couch. So I was the same thing. I was watching Channel 6.
Ramsey.
Had nothing to do with their coverage. I just fell asleep, man.
You love their coverage. Your boy Tom Wox.
I love Wox. I saw his weather forecast, and next thing I knew, I was falling asleep, man.
Did he say there's going to be snow this weekend?
Yeah. Yeah.
Saturday night?
Saturday. Saturday, yeah. There's been varying reports on how much it's going to be. But
yeah, I thought it was going to be like a light dusting. Somebody sent me 3 to 5 inches.
Towards the north of here.
Which would, if Milwaukee gets that, that's going to ruin another Pfizer Forum block party.
Oh, I didn't think of that. You're right. Yeah. Sunday, I guess, yeah.
Because their first one got destroyed by the snow.
Then it's probably good that the Bucks aren't playing on Saturday if we're going to have 3 to 5 inches.
No, it's going to be overnight. It would be overnight.
Saturday?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought
so. It would be on Sunday morning.
Oh, I saw where it's going to start on Saturday already. Saturday afternoon.
Well, Saturday
morning.
That would suck, too.
Yeah.
I just put my patio furniture out, Frames.
I know. It shouldn't be this late in the year. I mean, it's odd because, you know, you can go out golfing in beautiful weather like yesterday. And I'm out there, I was hitting some balls. I golfed 9 yesterday. I was thinking, man, in a couple of days, we're supposed to be under snow again out here. How weird.
Yeah, so what was I talking about? Oh, yeah, Javi Baez. So he hits a home run, and I see this. I see, like, everybody retweeting the Cubs about it. Mm-hmm. Cubs fans, Brewer fans, National League fans, baseball fans, sports fans. Because Baez kind of stared it down a little bit, and, you know, they call him the magician again. Oh, you made this 0-2 pitch disappear. Ha, 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 that's so great. But when the ball landed, the crowd was beside themselves, packed Wrigley, just to the rafters, freaking out. It's a little colder in Chicago, so it was a night game, so it got the feel to me like, this looks exactly like a playoff moment. This looks exactly like what the playoffs would look like. Cubs and Dodgers, late inning home run from Baez, fans freaking out. And I'm thinking, and I tweeted this, this is why we as Brewers fans got to stop with the it's April junk. Wrigley here looks and sounds and feels like a playoff game. Do they know that every game counts more than we do?
Well, I mean, when Thames hit the home run on Sunday, Bart, when Thames hit it off Jansen, that, I mean, the roof was, I mean, if the roof was open or closed, it would have came off because that place exploded. When Thames hit that ball, and even Thames talked about it in the post-game interview, how he felt the electricity running around the bases when he hit the home run. Yeah, I didn't see the Baez home run, but I imagine it was the same thing like when Thamesy went yard on Sunday.
Spark Guy tweets in and says, Bart, Miller Park sounds like this in April, too.
Yeah.
When Baez hits a home run.
No. No. When our guys do, when Yelly went deep for a third time, man, last week against the Cardinals, man, the roof, you know, same thing. No. If there's big moments at Miller Park, it has a playoff atmosphere, too.
So I threw that tweet up. John tweeted back at me. He said, can you recognize and appreciate that just maybe this city doesn't necessarily care as to what is taking place with the baseball team? This is a basketball city that has been suppressed for 20 years of bad ball. The Brewers will have their time come June. So I thought, okay. Let's ask the people.
There was 40,000 for each game this past weekend. What is he talking about?
Well, it was Easter and, you know, families and Braun Strowman was there, of course.
And still,
you don't listen to Chuck and Winkler, you're going to get these hands.
Now, Braun Strowman didn't draw anybody additional to Miller Park, maybe a couple of people.
I would say he drew at least 25 people.
Okay. But, I mean, he was walking around in the stands and it wasn't like people were bothering him.
Yeah, I saw people take pictures with him at like the seventh. Like he stayed to watch the game.
Yeah.
People never do that.
Yeah.
And he was like in the stands.
That's what I'm wondering. Did the Brewers pay him to stay around? They paid him for a whole day because he stuck. He was there for like 8 or 9 hours.
No, I think he might have actually bought a ticket.
So he was on his. But he was down there by Athanasio.
Yeah, he might have just bought a ticket.
His seat's down there. So, man, he had good seats. I mean, this. Everybody's on the Bucks bandwagon right now. And. Yeah, I mean, for years, nobody was going to Bucks games, but now that they've come alive, of course people are going to be. And it's neither a Bucks or a basketball town or a Brewers town. I think it's more of a Brewer town than it is a Bucks town.
Yeah, if you have to pick baseball town or basketball town, I put the poll up about an hour ago. Milwaukee, baseball town, basketball town. 66% of you with 600 some votes say baseball town, 34% say basketball town.
For how many years people were like, oh yeah, I like basketball, the Bucks, yeah. You know, that's the Bucks had that kind of reaction from people in this town. But now that they're good, people, and I get that because the Bucks were bad forever, but when the Brewers were mediocre, they still were getting 40,000 crowd, 45,000 in on a Sunday afternoon at Miller Park. They weren't doing that when the Bucks were mediocre.
Basketball town, baseball town. I'm going to read some more tweets here at 105.7 FM The Fan, 414-799-1250. And again, no better day to do this than the day of the NFL draft. But that will tie in a little bit as you see some of these responses. Mm-hmm. TG says, definitely it's an NBA city. Definitely. To be honest, Bart, I think Milwaukee is more about its two teams, like the Bucks and the Brewers, than the Packers. The rest of the state may say Packers, but for Milwaukee, it's our two teams. I feel like, and what we always try to do, the whole motive of this show is to talk about what people are talking about. You're talking about the Bucks, so are we. You're talking about the Brewers, so are we. Packers, so are we. We're never trying to force anything down anyone's throat. We're at the bar with you talking about what you're talking about. And I think you can look in the last 2 months of this show, what we've been talking about the most. This has really been the first day that we have spent a considerable amount of time on the NFL draft, and the draft is tonight. For the most part, we've been talking Brewers and basketball with respect to that tweet that, yeah, maybe the state is more in tune to the Packers. And if you polled everybody in the state, Packers win. But I do think that this town does rally around its two teams, especially when they're good and you're seeing them.
Yeah. I think the Packers will always be number one in the state and in Milwaukee. But right now, I think the Packers are taking a back seat to the Bucs and the Brewers. I think they do. I think this draft, because usually right now, I mean, we're talking, like you said, the draft, we're going on the draft, we're breaking it down. But there's also the Brewers and the Bucs where people are very much interested. Back in 2006, okay, no one cared about the Brewers. Brewers are mediocre, coming off a decent 2005 team. And the Bucs, you know, they weren't anything special either. They were on a 500 team and missing the playoffs and getting as an eighth seed. And the Packers were the deal. But now that our two teams of the city have actually been championship level, okay, the tide has turned a little bit, and they're getting a little bit more interest than they normally do.
This has never happened in my life where the two city teams were good and the Packers were like the third best team. Even Rodgers a couple of weeks ago said it. Yeah. He said, hey, the Bucks and the Brewers are doing very well. It's us to us Packers to try to catch back up to them.
I looked in to answer that question there. 1987 was the last time the Brewers and Bucks were of championship level. Brewers got off to a 20-3 start year. That was team streak, and they were in the pennant race, you know, for most of the year. And the Bucks got eliminated by Boston in the conference semifinals that year. And the Bucks had a lead in game 7 too. And then Jerry Seasting hit a couple of jumpers, and that was that. And that was the end of the Bucks' run, pretty much, in 87. But, yeah, this has been 30 years in the making where both of our teams who went through rebuilding processes are both good. And, yeah, the Brewers are struggling right now, but the Brewers are still one of the better teams in the National League.
Dan says, Milwaukee is a basketball city. Wisconsin is a baseball state. The Brewers draw better from everywhere than the Bucks do. Milwaukee supports the Brewers more than Wisconsin supports the Bucks, but the Bucks have been awful for like 20 plus years, so that's understandable.
Yeah, I mean, I was telling you a couple weeks ago, look at a Monday crowd at a Bucks game, regular season crowd this year, and look at a Monday crowd last year and years before and year before that. Maybe the new arena has something to do with it, but there's a different interest level now in the Bucks, and people have hung with this team, and I don't blame them for jumping on the bandwagon because they were terrible for so many years, and fans got tired of it. But, now we're seeing a new day with the Milwaukee Bucks that people's interest in the Milwaukee Bucks have become rejuvenated because we're finally seeing them win.
Larry says, neither. Milwaukee is a Packer town. If there was a televised preseason game on Sunday, you'd all be watching that instead of the Bucks or the Brewers.
Oh, I disagree. If the Packers are playing a preseason game on Sunday and the Bucks are playing game one against Boston, I think the Bucks-Boston series would have our attention.
Without question.
Than a preseason? Regular season may be different, but you remember when the Brewers are playing in September. When the Brewers are playing in September at Miller Park and the Packers are playing a game, Miller Park is still drawing 30 or 40,000 on a Sunday afternoon.
There is this faction of people that thinks, like, we'd watch Aaron Rodgers fart or get a colonoscopy over an NBA Finals
game. How about a tattoo?
All right, that's better, a tattoo. Okay. I don't know why I went with fart.
Okay. Yeah.
It's not 10 o'clock yet.
I think right now people are really intrigued with Giannis Antetokounmpo. In this city.
We're front runners in our own town.
Yeah.
Which, that's fine. Everyone is. What are we going to do on Sunday? What are we going to do on Sunday? The Bucks game or watch the Brewers? All right, a lot of you go two TVs because whatever. But what do you care about more? You're going to watch the Bucks.
Yeah, if the Packers are playing a preseason game on Sunday, or they had a practice game or whatever with the new the draft picks. No, people are watching the Bucks and the Celtics.
What did you do in October when the Brewers were in the playoffs and the Bucks were getting started? You watched the Brewers. Now, what do we do in January when the Packers needed a new head coach and the Bucks were like 30-12 and the best team in the East? We talked about the Packers. Mm-hmm. That was the number one thing. We're just going to go where the number one thing is. That's what we do as fans. When the Brewers are in the playoffs and the Packers are on TV in a regular season game, ain't nobody watching the Packers. The Packers beat the Bills 22-0. Nobody knows anything about that game. We were all watching the Brewers.
Well, how about this? Monday Night Football. The Packers are on Monday Night Football against San Francisco. Had a comeback win the same night the Brewers are playing the Dodgers in Game 3 and beat the Dodgers in Game 3 in Los Angeles. What do we talk about the next day on the show? Not the Packer comeback win. We're talking about the Brewers and Dodgers.
And you know what I did that night? I watched the Brewer game live, and then I started the Packer game at 10:45.
Okay. I was in Los Angeles covering the game, and I did not even know the Packers won the game until another reporter came to me and said, Chuck, you hear that? Rodgers led him to a last-second comeback, and they beat
the Niners.
At the Niners? I say, really? That had to happen to beat
them.
By
14 points.
I'm not sure if I should be happy or sad that it took a Rodgers late drive to beat the Niners.
I know I lost money on that game with you because I thought they would.
Yeah, well, yeah, because we bet. Yeah. I think you said they'd win by double digits, but
which is probably the only reason I was interested. Yeah, this whole Packers over everything, I get it. But when these other teams are good, that is certainly not the case.
You got it.
If they all play a regular season game at the same time, the Packers over everything. All right, fine. I can bow to that.
But I think a Packer playoff game, people aren't giving that enough credit. A Bucks playoff game, people aren't thinking.
Bucks are in the second round. We're not watching Packers anything.
For the first time since 2001.
On Sunday.
Yes.
The
no.
draft is tonight. If the Bucks playoff game was tonight, I guess I can't confidently say that.
Well, remember when Game 6 was against Toronto 2 years ago?
I think
first round
in draft ratings, TV ratings. You think TV ratings for the draft would be better than Bucks Celtics in just the city of Milwaukee?
If game one was tonight, I think Bucks Celtics.
I want to think.
Well,
that.
We'd have to see. Hey, how about game six when the Bucks lost to Toronto, had a full house at Pfizer Forum in a game against the Raptors to send it to a game seven? How did that? We should somehow find out how that did against the draft that night, because that was the first round of the draft.
Yeah, join us Saturday. We'll have it on Saturday's show. Ben is in Greenfield. What's up, Ben?
Hey.
Hey, guys. Just wanted to throw out a hypothetical for you. Let's just say that Dirk Nowitzki gets drafted by the Bucks. We all know that back in the day. Let's just say he had the same career as he had with the Mavericks. He got one title. And he got one MVP award with the Bucks instead of the Mavericks. And then we transitioned into Giannis, just like we kind of transitioned from one MVP quarterback to another MVP quarterback in the Packers. My argument is that the Bucks would be just as popular as the Packers in this state if that were the case. I think it's really about just that they've been good and the Bucks haven't been.
No. Look how many radio stations in the state carry the Bucks. Look how many carry the Brewers and Packers. The Bucks just don't have the statewide appeal. And even right now,
but 25 years ago they got Dirk Nowitzki, or 20 years ago they got Dirk Nowitzki.
Yeah, but the Mavs. I mean, the Mavs aren't above the Cowboys.
When the Bucks were good in the 70s and 80s, still they weren't. They didn't draw statewide interest in the regular season.
What if we had like Kobe? What if we had Kobe and we had four titles and then we transitioned to Giannis?
Yeah, it's more popular than the Packers.
But
in the 80s, they were one of the best teams in the NBA, and still they weren't. They were behind the Brewers, and there were, you could drive across the state, and it'd be difficult finding a Bucks game on the radio. Brewers, you could find them on, but not the Bucks. Still today, the Bucks, you can't find them on anywhere in the state.
Good hypothetical, Ben. I think this is the answer. AJ says, I'm going to say this is a Packer state and maybe even city, but the fans will roll with who's winning. So they'll always watch a Packer game unless it's a Bucks-Brewers playoff game.
And there are radio stations around the state, Bart, and you know this, that carry the Bucks games, but on a Friday night, they'll carry a high school basketball game over the Bucks. Eau Claire, all these other cities, they'll carry a local high school basketball game over a Bucks game and they're a Bucks affiliate.
Well, yeah, because they can grease Don's paint shop for $500. And ain't nobody want to sponsor the Bucks in Eau Claire.
No, that's what I'm telling you. That's why the state, there's... Now, they would not do that
What's
for
Bill's
the Packers.
What's Bill's pizza shop in Eau Claire? Pizza Del Rey?
Pizza, yeah.
Yeah.
Pizza
What's
Del Rey.
Pizza Del Rey going to spend
But I think for a Packer
on?
Game, though, they wouldn't bump...
No, they'll spend money on the
a Packer game. They wouldn't bump they'd bump a high school basketball game for a Packer game, but they wouldn't do it for a Bucks game.
Pizza Del Rey's probably got, like, the... For high school basketball, the Eau Claire Regis toss of the game.
They got the quarterback club.
That they spend $900 a game on. But ain't no way they're going to
the Pizza
spend
Del Rey
in the Bucks.
The Pizza Del Rey Eau Claire Regis starting lineup.
Yeah. Somebody back in sales, cut that, send it to Bill. We just helped him out. Let's see. There's one other tweet I wanted to read from Sean. I have always loved the Brewers and only recently started to give a poop emoji about the Bucks because of my newfound love of 105.7 The Fan and the wonderful, thankless coverage on the Bucks of a very exciting team. Well done, gentlemen. Love the show.
Yep.
Well, thanks.
Well, hey, I don't want to beat our own drum here, but no, a couple of years ago, we were with the first place Brewers in 2017.
Yeah.
First week of the season. Yeah, second week of the season, maybe it was, yeah. But still, you know.
Yeah, we but jumped I, might on be, at, I might be fading off. I know I said they're going to win the Central, and
don't be jumping off the Brewer bandwagon.
I'm very nervous.
Well, yeah, but
that this team isn't going to catch up.
It's early.
It's April.
13-13, man.
No real
don't,
critical.
Don't be jumping off the bandwagon.
It's only April. Can't die with the Brewers in April.
Don't be jumping about the Brewer. Off that Brewer bandwagon just yet, man.
Guys, I'm in the Dunn Club already.
No Dunn Club.
Well, somebody tweeted this earlier today and said the Brewers suck. More draft coverage, guys. The Brewers suck. Okay. Yeah, they don't suck.
We'll talk to Steve Ashburner, 9 o'clock coming up here. We will talk to Ross Tucker about the draft again at 9:30. I did want to hear from Malcolm Brogdon. He was with Bill the other night, and Malcolm gave a revealing answer about what his situation is going to be for this playoff series against the Celtics. So we'll have that coming up in just a little bit. Coming up right now at Perkins, it's available now. It's the Strawberry Freshtival, where strawberries are infused in a bunch of your favorite items. The fresh strawberry croissant French toast, the fresh strawberry buttermilk pancake platters, not just for breakfast either. How about the fresh strawberry salad? Smoked pulled greens, fresh strawberries, glazed walnuts, feta cheese on crisp garden greens. It's all available. It's available at Perkins. Check out Friday. They've got the fish fry. And then check out Saturday. Perkins all throughout the Milwaukee area. You get a meal after 4 o'clock p.m. on Saturday. And then your kids get a free kids meal. So take the family out, pay for a couple meals, get the other two free. They do that Tuesdays and Saturdays. And they do that at Perkins. We've been long assuming that Malcolm Brogdon was going to come back for the second round series. Were we wrong on that? Chuck and Winkler here on... Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That's Chuck Freeman. A lot to look forward to on The Fan over the next few nights. Q Club of Wisconsin is where our draft show will take place. Big Show going to be out there, too. So get a good spot tonight. They're going to be out there starting at 2 o'clock. Q Club's always been great for our draft shows. So get out there. Maybe chase a game on the billiards table. Are you any good at pool, Chuck?
You know, I've... Depending on the day. Sometimes I'm good at it. If I go against a pool shark, I'm terrible.
I think I could beat you at pool.
Are you good at it?
I can't, like, I hold it weird. I don't hold it the right, you know, you're supposed to put your thumb behind your fingers and then glide the stick along. But I keep my thumb out and I, like, use it as a...
Okay, but how would you automatically say you could beat me in pool?
I'm okay at it.
Okay, but I mean, you don't know how good I am. If I could be a pool shark. And you say, oh, automatically I could beat you. But I mean, if you're really good at it, then I could say, okay. But if you're not so good at it, you must
I'm just
think,
assessing my skill level
yeah.
and then assessing what I think your skill level is.
How could you do that, though? How could you assess my skill level? In
You've never talked about pool in your life with me.
We've
It's never come up.
No. Well, pool is like from the like in the 70s and 80s, everybody had pool tables in their basements. I don't think that's a thing where people have them in their basements as much as they once did.
I mean, my college weekends were, I played a lot of pool at the bar.
Okay.
You sit there, you say, hey, want to play a game of pool? Sure,
well,
rack them.
Well, we could play. I'm not saying you could beat me or not. I don't know how good you are.
Well, how good are you? I didn't mean to offend
no,
you.
No, I just, I don't know. I'm okay, I guess. It's just, I don't play a lot. We can play. We can play some pool. How about we do pool?
Darts.
Maybe a little darts. I'm okay in darts.
You'd probably beat me in darts. I get too fixated on the 18s and I can never hit it. And then
this is the bullseyes, man. 20s. I got 20s locked down.
I think you'd probably beat me, but our game would take 45 minutes.
35 rounds? I think it just goes 35 rounds.
Right, and then it shuts 0.87. off.
We can do a little pool darts challenge. I don't know if I can beat you or not because I don't know how good you are, and I'm okay in it. I'm not saying I'm great at it, so I don't know.
Well, just look at me and guess.
It's hard.
Like you can look at me and you know you're going to kick my ass in basketball.
Well, yeah. I mean basketball, yes, but I mean darts or pool. It's hard to say. Okay, this guy is going to be good in pool. I mean, how do you know? You might be great in darts.
I would embarrass you in ping pong.
Okay. Now, see, to make a statement like that, you would have to know how good my level is.
I'm although just saying how good I am.
Although we have a ping pong table at our house.
Mm.
But I'll say this, though. I mean, I don't know. I'm probably average in ping pong.
Mm. Well, you can go play a game of pool tonight as you check out the big show. They'll be there 2-6. Q Club of Wisconsin. Also, the draft show tonight. So that's going on tonight. Tomorrow, we're going to have the draft show here in studio, myself and Ryan Horvath, and then the Brewers are going to be done. So we're going to blend in with the baseball postgame show. Sunday, we've got the Pro Hoops postgame show, and then the Brewers game is going to get done just after that. So you'll get a little basketball postgame, then a little of a mashup there. And then Monday, we're going to have another edition of the Milwaukee Basketball Hour with Bill Michaels and Steve Novak.
I remember a few years ago... on the Friday night draft show, we came in to do it at 6 o'clock, and the Brewer game went so quickly because there was a no-hitter being pitched out at Miller Park. It was a guy from the Marlins. Might have been the Phillies.
No, it was the Marlins. Adam Conley.
Yes, and the Brewers ended up winning the game. They took him out. Mattingly took him out while he was pitching a no-hitter. And, you know, the game ended quickly, so our show kind of, our draft show was like 2 hours. And that was
we were all nervous that night, too. We're like, don't put the no-hitter in the updates because then people will leave our show go watch the Brewers.
Yeah, I wanted to leave the show to go out Miller Park and see the no-hitter.
I've done one, folks.
Yeah, we got all nervous about
it. I wanted to leave the draft show to go see the no-hitter because of I've never seen a no-hitter before. And, you know, of course, as usually most no-hitters do, they get broken up.
Chacin had a no-hitter through three yesterday.
Kershaw had one going into the fifth inning on Sunday. And I was thinking, oh, man. Yeah, he had a no-hitter going.
Weren't the Brewers getting no-hit on Monday for a while, too, like through five?
Boy, I don't remember.
I think HP might have broke it up, if I remember right.
I think it was Arcia who broke it up.
Oh, yeah, Arcia the other night.
He did it Sunday with a little blooper down the right field line.
Yeah, and Kershaw. I think one of the Cardinals had it going on, too.
And then the next guy came up and hit a two-run homer.
So Milwaukee Basketball Hour with special guest to be announced on Monday that will be with Bill and Steve Novak, I believe at the Rare Steakhouse again. Sort of downtown. Malcolm Brogdon was their guest earlier this week. Now, Malcolm Brogdon is somebody that the Bucks, if they're going to win the finals, they need him, I think. And I've been saying for a while, I like the Bucks to make the finals. Caveat, they've got to get Malcolm Brogdon back.
Mm-hmm.
The second round has been the hopeful target for when Malcolm Brogdon will be back. This is Bill and Steve Novak with Malcolm the other night.
When are you going to be back? We need you.
I can't give definite answers, but, you know, we're very hopeful this series and sometime throughout the series.
How you feeling? Let me ask you there.
I feel great. I've made progress the way that I should. I haven't had any setbacks, so we're hoping I sort of continue down this road.
What else do you have to do to kind of get cleared? I guess that might be the best way to put it.
It's really just getting to the point where I'm not, you know, functioning, playing on the court without any pain. I think that's my last hurdle. I've passed a lot of the tests in the weight room, even a lot of stuff on the court. I'm on the court playing. Haven't gotten to sort of competitive playing yet, but I'm getting up and down the court a lot. But it's really moving around without pain.
Are you without pain?
Not yet.
Close.
All right. So I heard the word hopeful in there twice.
I heard Bill say we, which encouraging.
Oh, at the beginning?
Said we need you.
When are you going to be back? We need you.
Yeah. There you go, Bill.
Throw a wee in there. All right. He's joined the party.
Yeah, he's on the wee club.
We need you.
All right. I think Joe's a wee guy.
Yeah?
I don't know about the big show guys. Well, Gary and Leroy can say wee for the Packers.
I think, and he could, Gary could do it for the Badgers, too. I think Pfeiffer's a wee guy for the Bucks, isn't he?
I think so. You know what's weird is I was listening to Rodgers, and he was talking about the Bucks. Here's Aaron Rodgers on the Bucks, and he says we a lot because he's a minority owner. Yeah. But it is weird to hear him say we.
Because you don't know what team he's talking about.
Yeah, because he can do two we's.
Yeah.
It is, it's just, it's weird to hear. It's weird to hear Rodgers say we about the Bucks. Here's Rodgers the other day.
As a part owner of the Bucks, your thoughts on them sweeping the Pistons?
It's exciting. It's an exciting time to be a
let's count
a fan of the Bucks, a super minority owner of the Bucks, and I'm sure the players as well. First sweep in a long time, first series win since the Ray Allen Big Dog teams, Sam Cassell. So it's exciting, but I know these guys have more on their to-do list than just win a series.
How do they match up against the Celtics?
Well, I think this is kind of like our Bulls Pistons from the 80s matchup. You know,
said our.
We had a tough series last year. We won all three at home. We lost all four in Boston. This year, we're obviously the top seed, so we have the home court advantage. They're a really good team. They got a fantastic coach. Sick. A player who is dynamic in their point guard, and then obviously some great other players around the perimeter and guys who can stretch the floor. We're very similar with kind of our personnel. We have a bunch of shooters in the court, as do they, with Horford's ability to stretch the floor. But I like our chances. We got a great vibe going this year. We have we're a deep, deep team. Mirotić, who didn't play the last 11 games of the season, you know, had an impact on multiple games already. Hopefully we get Malcolm Brogdon back and maybe Powell as well. It's going to be a fun run.
All right.
So, I've got 12.
So when are we going to hear from that guy who says, geez, Aaron Rodgers is more interested in the Bucks than he is his own team?
Well.
We're going to hear that as soon as Aaron has that three interception game in his career. No, I think when you go up to Aaron now, when you go to interview him, you got to go up to Aaron and say, Aaron, I'd like to talk to you about the team. And he says, which one? Which one do you want to talk about? Which one of we? Is he the only pro athlete who can do that, though?
I think he's the only current athlete that owns. Well, no, I think some of these guys own like minority shares in soccer clubs overseas.
Okay, but I mean like the real sports? The big ones? Is he the only athlete that is a part owner of another team?
Screw off, man.
No, I'm serious. I mean, the professional sports teams in our state, in our country. He's the only one, right?
Oh, I didn't tell you.
We had soccer. I mean, geez.
I didn't tell
you. How much does that cost?
I didn't tell you, did I? I talked to our boss, Solo, the other day.
Yeah.
We're gonna make this the exclusive home of the Women's World Cup coverage.
Oh, that sounds good.
So we're gonna have guests lined up because that's this summer.
Yeah.
We're gonna try to carry the games.
If Brandi Chastain is gonna take off her shirt again, I'm all in. She's gonna be in studio, then I'm here. Otherwise,
she's like 50 now.
Let me know the days we're gonna do that. I'll take the. Well, you can still look good at 50. You know, I let me know the days you want to do that. And I'll make sure I golf that day.
We think we're gonna carry the games live during our show.
Oh, that's even better.
Yeah.
I can take a nap right on the couch over here. I'll love it.
Yeah. So
let me know those dates.
I did talk to him about that, but he said, make sure you run it by Freems.
Yeah. No, I'll take those days off. You want to do that? No, is Rodgers the only guy, only pro athlete who owns interest in another professional sports team in our country?
I'll tell you what, that's some good homework for you and report back tomorrow.
Well, kind of busy tonight.
Okay.
Yeah.
One of you guys do it.
I think he's the only one.
God forbid we look it up. It's Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins. We can tell you the Bucks play Sunday at noon against the Celtics. That'll be on ABC. We'll have the post game after down at Fiserv Forum. Steve Ashburner covering this team back in the day, covering the entire NBA now. He's very familiar with both of these teams. How he sees Bucks Celtics playing out, what an X factor could be. And how they could do without Brogdon. Steve Ashburner, NBA.com. Next. 1057 FM, The Fan. We've got you covered with the draft show tonight out at the Q Club of Wisconsin. We've got you covered tomorrow night as well. Myself, Bart Winkler, Ryan Horvath, and more in studio starting at 6 p.m., taking you through rounds 2 and 3. The Fan's Friday night draft show tomorrow at 6 here on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.